Today's show is brought to you by International Genetics Labs, where we specialize in personalized medicine, which is called pharmacogenetics. Pharmacogenetics refers to the genetic differences in metabolic pathways which can affect individuals' responses to prescribed medications. We will provide everything your doctor needs to perform the test. If you are on any medications and you would like to find out more information, or if you are a physician and you're interested in doing the pharmacogenetics testing, feel free to check us out at internationalgeneticslabs.com or contact me through my email address, joe@joeshortridge.com, for more information. And now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Shortridge and Joe Shortridge.
Hello.
What is up, my brother from another mother? Nothing. Oh, no. Same mother.
Same mother.
Same mother, same father.
Same mother. Hey, mother.
I was digging that music big time.
Yeah. I love blues music.
Blues. Anyways.
And the Blues Brothers.
You know what? We have not been to a blues club in Chicago.
Know. I know.
Well, hello.
I know.
Well, next trip.
I need to get Dan Aykroyd to come in the studio and talk about UFOs.
Definitely.
He is like the godfather. He's like the Einstein of UFOs,
if you don't know.
Yeah, he is.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
All right. We will stalk him and chase him down and
I'm sure he gets a few requests a day.
And get him on the show. Oh, man, Joe, let's talk about our yard sale.
Yes, we had a yard sale yesterday. The first of annual 222 Paranormal Podcast yard sales.
Yes, please come donate to our travel fund. I am so tired. I woke up. I couldn't even walk. My legs were stiff as boards. I had flip-flops on all day, you know, running around. And then we had to set everything up. Then the worst part is having to pack it all up.
Pack it all up.
After the end.
Wasn't much left, but
Thank goodness.
Was enough that enough
the big
that
we're stuff like, went.
Yeah, yeah. All the big stuff went. The giant skull.
That damn haunted skull. I was like, no, this is going. I can't take it. It's putting a curse on my house. Well, the curse is lifted. I had to sage inside my house this week. I did. I saged inside my house, and it smelled like church. You know, when you go to church and they do that.
The incense?
Incense.
I think it's
the
same stuff.
Oh, it smells so good. I loved it.
But yeah, it was actually a really fun day. Once we got set up and, you know, just hung out all day in the front yard and
yep, had our little 222 Paranormal Podcast table set up.
And like I said last night, it's amazing how many people have paranormal stories.
That's crazy.
You don't think about it. And here these people are just coming to the garage sale to look at our awesome stuff. And they tell us paranormal stories that just blow your mind.
Tell us a little bit about the guy who told us his Bigfoot story.
Bigfoot in what is
Lambertville.
It? Lambertville, Michigan.
Mm-hmm, which is close to the Ohio border.
It's like 4 miles from this house.
Yeah, seriously. In the, what, he said the
70s? I think it was the 70s. He was in a woods right by Lambertville, which back then was pretty much farmland and woods. Now it's built up. There's still a few farms out there. But, you know, just picture a country suburb, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, they have a Kroger's, so I guess that's...
Wow, yeah. They're fancy schmancy now.
He was going through the woods and saw a Bigfoot. It was like the way they described it to us. You could tell he wasn't making the story up.
Yeah, he was so accurate. He didn't skip a beat. He saw what he saw. He had a witness. His one buddy was like frozen solid.
That's what he said.
He ran away when it got closer. Well, he was saying that as these two teenage boys, I think he said he was 14, as they kept talking, it kept getting closer. It was like, it was almost out of curiosity. It wasn't really out of like, I'm going to eat you. And then once it got so near to them, he took off running, but his friend was like stood frozen in fear.
Yeah.
And he said he came back for him and it was like he was totally blanked out.
He said his face was beet red and he was just staring and it hit. He actually had to shake him to like bring him back to reality.
That is crazy. Yeah. But it was right very here. Cool.
I mean, only 4 miles from my house.
So, you know, even having a Bigfoot in our area at the time, it you know, there Michigan was pretty much rural farmland.
Yeah.
Lots of wooded areas. Now, you know, everybody's developing into Michigan, but who's to say that they don't, you know, and I think we talked about this on the show, just, you know, travel miles.
That's what we mentioned on last week's show about the Thunderbirds, you know, about them traveling. I think that's, it is. But, you know, Bigfoot's probably nocturnal. I don't know. I'm just
I would think so.
You know, but back in the 70s, he could easily travel through the Michigan area and not be seen because there's paths of woods all over the place. And there still is, but
yeah, and
where he's talking about, I mean, it's the original almost downtown Lambertville.
Yeah. But just interesting. It was just so cool to meet. You know, everywhere we go, when the people see our T-shirts or our stickers or come to our yard sale, everybody has had some kind, we always meet somebody, I should say, that has that kind of paranormal experience, whether it's a UFO or a cryptid or a Bigfoot or a ghost or
they
some strange
ghost stories.
Yeah.
The other couple just moved into an apartment that I'd say again. Yeah, I'd say again. But it's 2 miles the other way.
Right.
And it's a community of apartments that were condemned, basically, because they were like barracks for the military. And they were condemned, and a company came in, and they're rebuilding all of them to brand new apartments. So this couple moved in, and they're getting ghost
stories. Yeah, they said they have had activity in there, so they're like, what do we do? And I said, well, try this first. Make sure, one, it's just not the electrical. He's like, no, it's all brand new electrical. I'm like, yeah. I know. But you still, even when you get a new car, you got to work the kinks out of it, you know? I said, well, try this. This is a simple thing you can do. Light a candle and ask it questions. And if you're getting responses where it flares up to your questions, you know something is there. And I said, then call us and we'll get in contact with one of the groups here in Toledo for an investigation.
Yeah.
He's like, well, how much does it cost? I'm like, it doesn't cost anything. They just want to help people.
Yeah, that's what the groups are out there for, is to help people. And if you do get a hold of a group and they do charge you, tell them, no, thank you. We will talk to somebody that's more interested in doing it for the love of the paranormal or the love of helping people than it is for the love of cash.
Well, listen.
Cash is king.
That's right. But anyways, so okay. So, Joseph.
Yes.
All right. Today's topic is top most haunted places in Chicago.
Chicago.
It's one of our favorite towns. Joe and I have been to Chicago a couple of times. We've ghost hunted there once or twice.
Once. Yeah.
And,
that's cool.
You know, it's just one of those, you know, it's the third largest city in the United States. It has a population of like 2.8 million people. You know, everybody is so familiar. I mean, if you're American, you are so familiar with Chicago. If you haven't been there, you need to go. It is a fun town. It's very expensive, but it's fun.
2.8 million people?
Yeah.
I wonder if I can find me a wife.
You better go find you some loving. But, you know, it's such a deep and rich history because of, you know, it being right on the water, the history with, you know, the gangsters, prohibition. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay.
But it goes back further than that. I mean, you know, if you're looking for old cities.
Cows.
Oh, yeah. Didn't a cow knock over?
Yeah.
And started the Great Fire of Chicago.
Yeah. Betsy.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So I'm going to read you.
I'm making it up as I go.
I think you're right, though.
So we got a list that we compiled of the top 10 I think there's an extra one there that you're
We saved a special one for the end.
Actually, I don't even know if I had that marked down, so we may talk about it twice.
All right. Well, that's okay. We've done that before. Yeah. Okay, so this place, and these are in no particular order. We just found a couple of places. This one is called Lourdes High School. It's a former high school. So Richard T. Crowe, Chicago's most respected authority on ghost lore, taught English at this particular high school in the early 70s, like 72, 73. During that time, he had heard stories about a nun who haunted the third floor. Tales of the phantom nun had been told for decades. Heavy footsteps were heard echoing down the empty corridors. There was a ghost specter seen one or more times. A place in there called Stitch Hall, an auditorium. It was added during the 50s. They had a lot of experiences in there. So several years ago, the Lourdes High School had been closed, and that was reopened as John Hancock? I cannot talk today. I need more Mountain Dew. Anyways, oh man, if Mountain Dew would sponsor our show, I'd be in hog heaven. Anyways. Yeah,
the show would only last about 10 minutes. Could be like, well, and then
I'd be the world's fastest talker. So anyways, since it was reopened as John Hancock High School, they haven't, nobody's reported any ghostly activity since then. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I got one here, the Tonic Room. Mm. It's in Linkin Park.
Oh, man, that's kind of sad about Linkin Park. Yeah. The lead singer committed suicide. Man, oh, man. Okay, we'll save that for another show.
Okay. But anyhow, ever since the Roaring Twenties, the building is now home to the Toxic Room, or Tonic Room. Did I say toxic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's the Tonic Room.
Tonic.
Tonic, as in gin and tonic.
Mm, sounds good. Let me have one.
It has had a colorful history that leads itself to tales of the paranormal.
Ooh.
A brothel.
Your favorite kind of place. He loves investigating brothels.
A brothel was located upstairs in the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And the tavern was a popular hangout for the Northside Irish gang. When they first opened the establishment, the owners of the Tonic Room discovered an Egyptian painting on the basement ceiling and a pentagram painted on the basement floor, leading to speculation that they had a meeting place for the American chapter of the Golden Dawn.
Ooh, what's that? We'll have to dig into that.
I don't know.
Sounds like some secret society.
Yeah. One elderly woman claimed to have witnessed a ritual murder there in the 1930s when she accompanied her father to a secret meeting.
Okay, so then the next place, this is called the Ford/Oriental Theater. It's in the Loop District. If everybody's familiar with Chicago, there's a train that goes around in a loop. Anyways, so the theater had many different names. It was called the Iroquois, the Oriental, the Ford Theater. But nothing can erase the stain of tragedy that happened in this place.
Dun, dun, dun.
So on December 30th, 1903, 5 weeks after the Iroquois' grand opening, the worst theater fire in American history tore through the building, claiming the lives of 572 people. Another 30 died after, from their injuries. In the alley behind the theater, 125 bodies were piled up, some of them after having leaped to their deaths from the fire escape. Today, the area is relatively quiet, but the residents of the building behind the theater occasionally reports a feeling of uneasiness, unexplained sounds that were tied to this disaster.
Interesting. Ooh. Spooky.
Let's go there.
Yeah. And we could stay at the Drake Hotel.
All right. What happens at the Drake?
The opening night of the Drake Hotel was both magnificent and tragic. It was magnificent because the Drake Hotel was one of Chicago's most beautiful hotels. It was tragic because, according to legend, it was a woman in red who ended her life. On New Year's Eve, 1920, a man and his fiancée attended the gala held at the Drake Gold Coast Room on opening night. A man stepped away and did not return. So his fiancée went looking for him. She found him with another woman in the Palm Court Parlor. Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The woman in red climbed up to the roof and jumped to her death. Since then, guests of the Drake have reported seeing her ghost of the Golden Coast Room, Palms Court. And on the top floor and the roof, she seems to be condemned to replay her final night.
Oh, how sad is that?
Yeah.
No man's worth jumping off the building for, honeys. Let me tell you that right now.
Except for me.
Okay, Joe.
Well, it's a woman in red, so which means she probably had red hair.
Lady in red. Okay. I won't sing this episode anymore. All right. Okay. All right. So this one is interesting. This happened down in Chinatown, though. That's where you and I went ghost hunting.
Yeah, I looked up that building that we went into, and I couldn't find no name on the actual building. I just found all the different places are in there now.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing any names when we went. Just they told us how to get there, and then we had to walk across the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was in Chinatown.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. Okay, so Ethel's Party, Tito's on the Edge. Between 1908 and 1995, Coletta's Funeral Home stood on the edge of Chinatown, and it catered to the Italian neighborhood next door. According to Richard T. Crow, when the funeral home finally moved out and a bar moved in, many of the locals were wary of patronizing the establishment. Even one of Tito's own bartenders refused to go into what was formerly the embalming room and the cold storage area in the basement.
Interesting.
Well,
let's go.
Don't you think you would get fired if you like refused to go in a room? Like, you work there. You got to do it.
All depends on how nice the owners are.
I guess. Okay, so the building's new owners quickly realized that it was haunted. Employees cited a man dressed in a brown trench coat, thick white cloud, and even an extra band member who was seen on stage a few minutes before vanishing. So this Tito's on the Edge is now known as Ethel's Party, but the strange activities do keep going on.
It's always Ethel's Party, I swear. Listen,
we have to go there.
She throws the biggest bashes.
Does.
Ever.
You're going.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go right now. Oh, no, we got to finish the show. Another one here is the Excalibur Club.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yep.
On River North?
Yep.
Interesting. What was it like?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Think early 90s, being like 21 years old, 22 years old, going with your girlfriends to one of the biggest dance clubs you've ever been to. Them playing all kinds of 90s dance music. It was like Groovy Train and...
How about Get Down On It?
Pumped, no, I'm ready to go. I'm locked, I'm ready to go. Okay.
All right.
I told you I wasn't going to sing anymore.
It's a Romanesque.
Romanesque.
You know, I typed this out and I can't even read my own typing. It's a Romanesque revival building that has a long, colorful history. Since 1931, it's been home to the Loyal Order of the Moose. Moose. The WPA, a technical institute, a magazine company, and finally, you ready for this?
Yes.
A nightclub.
Whoop, whoop.
Called the Limelight. When the Limelight opened, its staff almost immediately noticed unusual activity, especially in the third floor. On the pool table... Really? On the pool table, balls rolled around on their own. No comment.
None.
Sound of heavy boxes moving in the storage room, even though the room was locked and empty. Hauntings continued when the club became the Excalibur in 1990. One bartender was reportedly trapped in the bathroom stall for several minutes as though someone was holding the door closed. One visitor claimed to hear keys rattling and witnessed a figure seeming to vanish behind the support column. Thanks to these many similar incidences, the Excalibur is a favorite subject around Halloween and for local radio and news stations.
That's amazing. It was the funnest nightclub.
Really?
I went with my friend Tammy and my friend Jen. I think Dawn went with us, I'm not sure, but we were drinking cranberry and vodkas because that was the thing to do in the 90s. That was the drink du jour. And we were cool, and I had my sunglasses on in the nightclub because I was cool. And then they put me on the big screen with like 50 giant TVs, and I was like dancing.
Dancing, dancing.
It was a dancing machine.
In Chicago.
Yeah. So, okay. So here's
what do you got?
Okay, this one's in Lincoln Park, too. There seems to be a lot of activity over in Lincoln Park. Okay, so called the Obodo Grill, but it used to be known as That Steak Joint.
That Just Steak Joint.
Joint. Okay, so, but it's currently a Mexican restaurant, even though it has a Asian name. Okay. Okay, so this Mexican restaurant was the location of the former The Steak Joint, one of Chicago's most haunted restaurants. So according to a Chicago medium, he held seances in the upstairs dining room in the 80s. During one seance, a reporter from the Chicago Sun-Times became violently ill. Waiters claimed to see shadows moving through the restaurant and felt touched by unseen hands. Woo, lucky. One waitress was violently dragged towards the staircase. Whatever had grabbed her left a burning red mark on her wrist. This medium said that lights flickered, they got the chills, there was phantom footsteps, floral scents, and strange howling noises. Just to list some of the strange occurrences. Now, as far as the haunting seemed to have subsided, but the new owners won't talk about it.
Why not?
I don't know.
You know, para tourism is big now, so why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, we'd go. We're definitely going back to Chicago.
Who wants to go with us?
We're going to stay at the Congress Plaza Hotel.
It's so haunted.
The most haunted place in Chicago.
Ooh, tell me all about it.
According to the information I found online. The Congress Hotel was nefarious of being one of Chicago's largest and most haunted hotels. According to Ursula Besky, you know, Ursula.
Oh, yeah. Your girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some even believe that its rooms inspire Stephen King's story, 1408. Since 1893, the Congress has played host to gangsters, celebrities, millionaires, and presidents. In recent years, it has suffered from the longest hotel employee strike in history. Its ghosts are numerous. Security guards have heard organ music.
Ooh.
What is organ music? Is that
like church music?
When my stomach growls?
Oh, gosh. Which is every time we go to tape the show.
Yeah. Sounds of skating wheels sliding across the floor in the Florentine room for a former roller skating rink. After the guests have gone to bed, wedding attendees have gone missing from photographs taken around the grand piano in the gold room. And one large man has been seen in the south tower. In the north tower, moans have been heard coming from the elevator on the fifth floor.
I won't comment.
Finally.
Moans in a hotel?
In a hotel where the weddings are taking place. No. Okay. Family show. The fifth floor is to be believed to be home to a room so frightening the door has been permanently sealed and hidden behind a paper wall.
Wow. Let's go find it.
Okay. So wait a minute. We were watching that video about this place, and there was a girl that went in the room in the fifth floor. She said it was the most haunted room.
According to her.
Let's get a knife, cut the door open, and stay in that room.
I'm in. All right.
So what do you got? What's the last one?
Okay, so this place
it's not the last one. It's
the special one. I'll leave that one for you. Right. And I'm going to tell you about, this is in Little Italy. Now, I don't know where Little Italy is in Chicago, but I need to find it because I love Italian food and it's my favorite. Do you remember when we went to Little Italy and I think it was outside of Cleveland and we went to that restaurant and had the best Italian food? Oh my God. I don't know. That place in New York was pretty dang good too.
Oh my God. It was outside Nepinek.
Oh my God. I'd go back in a minute just for a meal there. Okay, so this is Holy Family Church. So built between 1857 and 1859, Holy Family Church was one of the only buildings of its kind to survive the Chicago fire that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, so its origins were connected to the spiritual. According to Father McCarthy, the church pastor, in 1973, its altar was positioned above a stream that ran under the church, which itself was considered sacred ground by Native Americans because of the battle that took place there. Traditionally, the divine intervention is credited for preventing the church from being consumed in the Chicago fire. But since Holy Family is located only a couple of blocks from where the fire was started, so they have these two statues of boys holding candles high above the altar. They are thought to be representations of the two spirits of two altar boys that led a priest to a dying woman in need of receiving last rites. Once Father McCarthy also witnessed a figure standing in the choir loft, although it had been closed to the public for years.
Churches, a haunted church.
You know, can churches be haunted?
Why not?
I don't know.
The spirits would gather there.
Yeah. I mean, people, they don't particularly funerals. Die there very much, but yeah, funerals.
And a lot of spirits go to places where they feel most comfortable.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to have to do a show on that.
Okay.
All right.
Tomorrow?
Oh. Right now. All right, Joey, got one
let's,
for us.
Okay, so let's think back about chicken wings.
Okay, so what is nearest and dearest to your heart, Joe? Chicken wings and bouets.
I know that in the past we've had some questionable chicken wings.
Oh my gosh.
On our way to Gettysburg.
Blah.
But I think we should talk about Hooters.
Your favorite restaurant.
But no, seriously. This place puts the boo in boobs.
You are so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hooters in Chicago is haunted on 660 North Wells Street. So if you ever get a chance to go to Hooters,
we're going.
Go to that one.
We're going.
Okay. Like I said, it puts the boo in boobs. In 1915, the Eastland Cruise crashed on Chicago's river, killing 844 people.
Oh my God.
844 people.
They drowned?
Yeah. Oh. Well, it killed them.
Oh. That's so, a lot.
I don't know
spot.
If the boat stabbed them or. Okay.
Not funny. Why am I laughing?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's rumored that back then the basement of Hooters was used as a morgue for the victims of the tragedy. Staff members have reported eerie activity and strange whispers, footsteps, and things falling off the shelves. But
I have no comment on
sure
that whatsoever.
That the most spirits that they get there mm-hmm. and the most sounds are from the wings. We got wings.
Listen.
We were thinking about getting something to eat. Do you guys serve food? We have wings. We're making chicken wings.
We got chicken wings. You want chicken wings? Oh, that's how that lady talked. I got
but
wings.
844 people in the basement.
Oh my God, this is scary. I wouldn't go down there. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I do that. That's what
I'm gonna,
we do.
When we're done recording here, I'm going to look this up and see what it looks like. I bet it looks like a Hooters.
Oh my gosh, it's probably orange with owls and... Shorty shorts. Really? Why don't you just put your Hooters shorts on?
Yeah.
And prance around, prancer dancer. You can prancer size.
Prancer size, yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, sorry, folks. That visual.
But the place that we ghost hunted in Chicago, I definitely want to go back. That was definitely, it was right on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walked into it, I mean, I know that we originally went in the other building across the street and the guy gave us a little presentation and that, and we walked across. But we're walking through this place, and you talk about feeling history,
because
mm-hmm. you know that you're in a place where Prohibition was like probably the number one place of Prohibition in Chicago because the way it was set up.
Yeah.
The
tunnel.
I was just going to say the tunnel. And
that was so cool. But, you know, it's so interesting if we can go back now knowing what we know now. We were so green then about ghost hunting. We didn't know anything.
Trying to remember if we even had any equipment. I don't think
we
had nothing.
We had nothing. Yeah. We didn't even have a recorder. We had our cell phones for pictures. That was it.
But it was cool because he actually, and I want to get a hold of him and I want to do it again just for fun, but he offered everybody the equipment, had duffel bags. And what was cool about his way of an investigation is he was setting up as an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Gather the evidence, write everything down, you know, instead of just saying, yeah, get some EVPs or that, you know. He was trying to find the actual evidence of people's names,
mm-hmm.
dates, stuff like that, which was cool.
Well, you got to tie that in, you know. You mm-hmm. got to tie in who you think is the haunting, not just experiencing it, you know.
Exactly.
If you can have that personal connection, you may be able to connect with them even better. I don't know if that even made any sense.
Well,
but
no, it does, because, you know, we always say there's paranormal investigating.
Mm-hmm.
And ghost hunting.
Right, right.
And back then we were just ghost hunting. Early. Right. I mean, I guess we still do because, you know, we're mm-hmm. in it for the fun and to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. And I definitely learned a lot on that trip just from doing that little bit of.
What was nice, though, is he took the time to do that little presentation beforehand
mm-hmm.
to explain some of the terminology. Because some people just go and they don't know
what
EVP stands for to listen for one.
Yeah. And he went through the equipment and he went through the history of the building and the possible things to look for, which some people say they don't want to learn all that before.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say they want to learn that.
Sure.
So they know what they're looking for.
Right.
So you can go either way, you know, but anyhow, Chicago's cool. Definitely cool.
The food. Oh my goodness. We have to go when they have like, they have this big foodie thing. So like all the, it's like restaurant week and yeah. like you can go and taste test all the food. Oh my God. That'd be heaven.
Heaven.
Are there donuts in heaven? That's our topic of the week. Call,
really?
Yes. Call in and let us know.
What
we,
donuts you're eating yeah. while you're listening to our show.
Oh my gosh. So anyways, you know, if you guys are listening, which we appreciate you listening, every one of you, even you listening right now, I hear you. So if you have a paranormal question or you have a ghost story you want to tell us, your own personal experience, give us a call. We have a hotline set up. It's a hotline.
222 Paranormal Podcast Hotline.
Yeah. So call 740.
Or as Metallica would say, hotline.
Hotline. Okay. 740-720-0225. Give us a call. Leave us a message. If you have a paranormal question or you have something that you want us to answer for you, we're going to have a show and it's going to be all your questions. Now, if you don't want to be on the air, just say so. We'll just read your question. But if you, you know, have some kind of hunting tale or maybe a cryptid tale.
Yeah, anything.
Bigfoot tale. If you've been abducted by an alien and probed in places that you don't want to talk about, call and talk about it.
Just maybe. Don't leave your name or...
Photograph. Just kidding. All right. No, seriously. If you... you know, have some kind of paranormal question, call us at 740-720-0225.
Yeah, any questions. And yeah. if we don't know the answer, we will call one of the groups and ask them. And
we'll find out.
We're going to set up for, it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, so Joe and I are a couple of weeks away from Michigan Paracon. We did find out Josh Gates backed out due to scheduling conflicts, so yeah. I can't harass him when he walks by my booth. But... in his place, Steve Gonzalez and Nick Roth will be there.
Two people replacing one?
Yes. Oh, so okay. They're getting two for one. But anyways, it's going to be so exciting. I really hope that we get to meet some of our fans and some of our loyal listeners.
I was
going to
say, I don't like the term fans.
How about loyal listeners?
Okay. Let's call them that.
Our LL.
You, right
LL
there.
LL22PPs.
You sitting there with a black shirt on.
Oh, we all do. But anyways, that is all our laments for today. Go yeah. to Chicago, ghost hunting in Chicago, eat deep dish pizza.
And tell us a story
oh, man,
of Chicago.
Love it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see you there.
You never know.
Never know. Anyways, check us out on Facebook. Like our Facebook page. Check us out on YouTube. Where else, Joe?
Tell a friend so they can tell a friend. And they can tell a friend.
Share our page.
And so on and so on.
Yes, and if you need ghost hunting equipment, go to our
www.222paranormal.com
and buy some ghost hunting equipment.
Yeah, it helps out the show. Yep. You know, we get a tiny percentage of the sale. It doesn't cost you anymore, but hey. So let's jam out with some Blues Brothers. And thanks for listening this week, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
Chicago.
Come on. I'm trying to listen to the song. Give me a line.
It's an added bonus
yeah.
at the end, like when you're watching the credits and they sneak something in.
Oh, yeah. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.